Father, we give you praise. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for what you have prepared for us for this evening. Lord, we receive it with thanksgiving in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Thank you for the word of wisdom. Thank you for the word of knowledge. Thank you for insight and understanding. Thank you, Lord, for revelation. In Jesus' name we have prayed.
Amen. Now I declare
that the Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, and I'm being filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I'm pleasing Him in all respects. I'm bearing fruit in every good work, and I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to His word. His word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area, and it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Amen.
Amen.
I said amen.
Amen.
Understanding is your portion in Jesus' name.
Amen.
God will give you insight.
Amen.
He will give you direction.
Amen.
He will give you understanding.
Amen.
What you do not know, many people are suffering for lack of knowledge. That suffering will end in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Because knowledge will come to you in the name of
amen.
Jesus Christ.
Amen.
All right, the Lord is good. Can you greet three people beside you? Tell the person, suffering by ignorance is over. Tell two more people that. One more person. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, let's continue looking at God's word again today. I want us to open our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Okay, I'm using the New King James because I just want a particular word which my usual New American Standard does not use, but I just like to read this one. I want that word. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 from verse 1. So let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that they be found faithful. But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by human court. In fact, I do not even judge myself, for I know of nothing against myself, yet I am not justified by this. But he who judges me is the Lord. Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes, who will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsels of the heart. Then each one's praise will be from God. Now again, let's open our Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Okay, I'm going to read from verse 1, but I'll just jump quickly to where I want, which is verse 12. Just want to use a few verses in the early part to give it context. He said, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, according to the commandment of God our Savior, and of Christ Jesus, who is our hope, to Timothy, my true child in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, and from Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, like I said, I'll just quickly jump to verse 12. He said, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has strengthened me, because he considered me faithful, putting me into service. Or like King James would say, he committed to me a ministry. He said, even though I was formerly a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent aggressor, yet I was shown mercy because I acted ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was more than abundant with the faith and love which are found in Christ Jesus. Let me just stop reading that verse 14. Now, those are the two portions of the scriptures I want us to start with today. And I have a question I want to ask, something I want everybody to think about. I want everybody to consider. And all right, let's all consider these things in our hearts. Simple question is this: what is the thing that's most important to you in life, really? What is the thing that's really driving you, pushing you? Now, please, let me go back to this thing I teach again and again when I'm explaining things to people, that these days. When people say that God spoke to them. Okay, when they say that, now let me just say this. There are words you have to be careful when you use, all right? Don't stop saying God spoke to you. Be very, very careful. Unless you, look, if a scripture was, you know, brightened in your eyes, say it. That scripture came alive to me. Say it like that. Do you understand my point? I had a dream and I understood, say it like that. When you use expressions like God spoke to me, I think we are too flippant with that expression. Everybody says it. When he finishes praying, a thought drops in his heart. He said, God spoke to me. God did not speak to you. Just say, a thought dropped in my heart, and I believe it was the Holy Spirit. Are you getting my point? The Spirit of God prompted something in me. Use expressions that are safe. Are you getting what I'm saying? Be very careful. Be very careful. Let's just not use God spoke to me anyhow. All right? Now, I'm always explaining this. When many times Christians say that the Lord spoke to them or the Holy Spirit spoke to them, what they are referring to is that the other way they say it, that my spirit spoke to me. I heard my spirit. My spirit said. Now, I keep on emphasizing the problem with that teaching, okay? You know, it was very popular in Christianity, in Word of Faith movement when I was young, that as a young believer on campus those days. We're trained to hear our spirits. We're trained to pray until every other thought is silent, and then your spirit can now speak. Now, the concept, this is the principle behind it, is that that you have a spirit. Well, the idea is that you are a spirit, you have a soul, you live in a body, but the summary, we are made up of what? Spirit, soul, and body. And that when you give your life to Christ, that your spirit is born again, regenerated. And that spirit is pure because it's fashioned after God. And many of the scriptures we read, we say it applies to our spirit. When we say that we are new creatures in Christ Jesus, we say it's our spirit. So for that reason, if only you can get that spirit to talk, whatever it says will be clean. They will not say things like, now these are scriptures, the spirit of a man is a candle of the Lord. Are you getting my point? Now, so this is what we derived from all of these thoughts. That if my spirit speaks, it is the will of God. If my spirit speaks, it's exactly what God wants me to do. That is the genesis of much of the confusion you have experienced. That's the genesis. Now, those things are not wrong entirely, but they're also not totally accurate. We overlooked some things. The concept that the spirit of a Christian is totally pure is not correct. Because the Bible makes it clear it can be defiled. Paul said, let us do what? Cleanse ourselves of all defilement of flesh and spirit. Spirit can be defiled. That's one problem. Number two, there are many sides to it. The word spirit in scriptures has a lot of uses. And the application, when the Bible is applying it, you have to be careful and read the context. So, does the seed of God dwell in the child of God? The answer is yes, it does. But that part of you that the Bible calls spirit, that's not the only thing that is there. That's the mistake we make. Do you understand? We think that is the only thing that is there. That is not the only thing that is there. So we have a lot of arguments. Like, can a Christian be possessed or be obsessed or be depressed or be attacked? You know, all those kind of things by a demon. We have a lot of hair-splitting arguments over some of those things. They will now say things like an evil spirit cannot get into the spirit of a Christian. I don't know. All I know that Paul said the spirit can be what? Defiled. That's why he said it needs to be cleansed. He said, let's cleanse ourselves of what? All defilement of flesh and spirit. Why am I emphasizing this? Now please read the book. I explained it inside there, guided by the Spirit. I just need to emphasize this again. So when a spirit has been defiled and it speaks, it's as clear and the same voice as the one that has not been defiled and it speaks. I don't know whether you're getting my point. It is spirit talk. So no matter how much you pray and pray until you quieten your mind, quieten your heart, and your spirit speaks, it doesn't make it clean. It does not mean it is God that has spoken. It does not mean the Spirit of God has spoken by force, just because you think you have heard your spirit. That is why many times, at least I've had that experience, Christians will tell me something they want to do and tell me it's their spirit that said they should do it. Before, I used to argue. I said, no, your spirit could not have said that. And of course, they are insistent it's their spirit. But now I realize that I was half wrong. No, they were half wrong too. What do I mean by that? Did their spirit say it? Possibly. where I would, someone like me would have been arguing, is that how can your spirit tell you? Because we both agree that if your spirit must be speaking from the knowledge communicated from the heavenly presence of God through the Holy Spirit into your spirit. So if your spirit speaks, it should be clean. So when that thing is not clean, when it's not in agreement with the word of God that is already recorded for all of us, arguments start and say, no, your spirit could not have spoken. That's why I made my own mistake. Well, later I realized that, no, it is the spirit that spoke. That's where I was half wrong. Where the other fellow was half wrong, and which I was also half wrong, is that we both agreed that if indeed it is the spirit, it must be correct. But I learned later, it is not so. It can be wrong. A man's spirit can be wrong within him, and be a believer. That's why Paul said, cleanse yourself of what? Defilement of flesh and spirit. Spirit can be defiled. Now, another word that's used in the scriptures, another way the word spirit is applied in the Bible is, now that's why I talk about this. What is your goal in life? What is pushing you? What is driving you? Anytime you wake up in the morning, what is your focus? That is also what the Bible calls your spirit. It's not only that, that born again part of you, like the way we talk about it. No. If you wake up in the morning, and your drive in life is that I must hammer, our Nigerian English. I must make it materially. If you give your life to Christ, and listen, let me say this again. That is why once I was reading Genesis and I realized that God, after when he was creating, that Genesis chapter 1, the Bible says he separated what? Light from darkness. This is the application of it. Light can be present. It doesn't mean darkness has gone. Light can be present. It does not mean darkness has gone. That is why we have a duty as believers to be careful, to deliberately separate light from darkness. Many people became born again. They gave their lives to Christ. They were received into the kingdom, into the church. But, remember what is the name of that fellow? Simon the sorcerer. Are you getting my point? What did Peter say about him? He said that you are still in the gall of bitterness. This is the Bible. Let's read it. This is a man that the Bible says also believed. He also believed. Yet, what did Peter say about him? All the days that he was doing what he was doing, he was making a lot of money. Acts chapter 8. Just to get it in full context, let's start from verse 4. Now, those who had been scattered abroad went about preaching the word. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and began preaching Christ to them. The crowds with one accord were giving attention to what was said by Philip as they heard and saw the signs which he was performing. For in the case of many who had unclean spirits, they were coming out of them shouting with a loud voice. Now notice the word unclean spirits. That's another way of using the word spirit. Here was referring to demons, personalities. Do you understand? Individuals, spiritual beings that were residing inside people. So in the case of many who had unclean spirits, they were coming out of them shouting with a loud voice. And many who had been paralyzed and lame were healed. So there was much rejoicing in the city. Now there was a man named Simon, who formerly was practicing magic in the city and astonishing the people of Samaria, claiming to be someone great. And they all, from smallest to greatest, were giving attention to him. For time's sake, I'm just going to jump a few lines. Now, verse 12. But when they believed Philip preaching the good news about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were being baptized, men and women alike. They were being baptized. Even Simon himself believed. Did he believe?
Yes.
Who said he believed? You or me? Huh? The scriptures now. Luke wrote it in the book of Acts for us here. That the man also believed. So you see, even Simon himself believed. And was he baptized?
Yes, sir.
He was baptized. You're following the point. After being baptized, he continued on with Philip. The man entered into the ministry. He so believed, he began to preach too. He joined Philip. He continued on with Philip. And as he observed signs and great miracles taking place, he was constantly amazed. This is a man who has believed. This is a man who has been baptized. This is a man who has joined Philip in ministry. Do you understand? Now, let's see what the Bible says concerning the same person. So you understand some of our doctrines are not totally accurate. And that's why we have a lot of confusion in our practices. Now, if you read from verse 14, we will not read all of that from verse 14. Peter and John came and ministered the Holy Spirit to people. And verse 18. Now, when Simon saw that the Spirit was bestowed upon through the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money, saying, "Give this authority to me as well, so that everyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit." But Peter said to him, "May your silver perish with you, because you thought you could obtain the gift of God with money. You have no part or portion in this matter, for your heart is not right before God." Did he believe?
Yes,
sir. Is that Peter was not there? Okay, Peter was not there when he believed. It was Peter, it was Philip that baptized him. Maybe that was what was confusing Peter. No. Peter knew. He worked with Jesus for a long time. He understood the way these things worked. And he said, "Oh boy, even though you are in church, your heart is not right before God. Therefore, repent of this wickedness of yours and pray that, if possible, the intention of your heart may be forgiven you. For I see," now this is where I'm going, word of knowledge operating now, understanding, discernment operating now through Peter. He said, "For I see that you are in the gall of bitterness and in the bondage of iniquity." A man who has believed. This same person will be taught your spirit is pure, you know, just quieting your ears and then your heart and anything that comes out of your spirit. Peter said, a man who is in the bondage of bitterness. You know, I read my Bible. Read through. Most of the people that gave Paul problems were Christians, baptized believers. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil, baptized Christian. May God repay him according to his work, a church member. Elder. Someone wanted preeminence. John said, if you don't do what they say, was it John or James? Was it John that said it? That one man, yes, I think it's John. That said, like preeminence. Harassing everybody. Spreading iniquity inside church. Church leader. Some of our doctrines need to be modified. This is a man who has believed. Peter said concerning him, "I see that you are in the gall of bitterness and in the bondage of iniquity." Let me just stop here. Now, why I read all of this is to let us understand something again. What was Simon supposed to do? Did he have light now? Now, answer me. Did he have light?
Yes.
Answer me.
Yes.
You are not sure?
No.
The man believed. He was baptized. Light had come to him. Unfortunately, darkness was not totally gone. That's what I was trying to explain. Even though he had believed, he was still in the gall of what? Bitterness. That thing was still driving him and pushing him. Many Christians believe they still love money. Jokes apart. Especially since they gave their lives to Christ when a prosperity preacher was preaching. So they gave their life to Christ and held on to the love of money. It's not the prosperity preacher's fault. The man preached the gospel, he's just a prosperity preacher. So many people came to church still loving money. But we can see from here, okay, of course, we can just apply this from here, that many are still in the what? The gall, the bondage of covetousness. That's the point I'm trying to make in all of these things. Talking about your spirit. So when your spirit speaks, it doesn't just speak the word of God because it's coming from your spirit. No. What comes from your spirit is, now, the Holy Spirit can speak through there. I'm not saying it doesn't. But so can evil spirits. So can fleshly spirits. It is what is deeper, you know. You know that one, I invented that word last week. It is what is what? Deepermost. No, we have uppermost. There is also deepermost. What is in the depths of the heart? That is what is now propelling the individual. And whatever is there propelling you, deep inside your heart, many times you don't even know it is there. The Bible also uses the expression spirit for it. So you hear things of spirit of jealousy, spirit of anger. The man is quick to get angry. He's quick to get angry. There's a spirit of covetousness.
In the same manner, he only looking for, like they say, he has dollar signs in his eyes. Naira signs, everything. How does it turn to money? Because I've listened to Kenehigi so much. There are so many of his stories. I told the story of one man that was helping him out once in ministry. A minister. So he said, well, let's go around preaching together. He said that fellow was always coming up with schemes to make money. He said they stayed, of course, trying to manage money. They'll go and do a program. He and the guy will share a room. So at night, he's trying to sleep so they can wake up during the night and pray and study. As he's lying there, the guy will say, Ken, are you still awake? He tries to pretend like, he's trying to pretend like he's asleep, but what can you do? The man says, are you awake? He says, yes. He said, you know that reverend that came yesterday, do you reckon you have any money? Everything, will he have any money? He's always checking how they can make money from their programs. After a while, he and the man fell apart. They couldn't continue together. And this man was an ordained minister too. You see, everything the man wanted, oh, do you think I'll make any money from that? No, everything to him was money, money, money. That's the same spirit a man like Simon the sorcerer had. And so, if he lies down and he prays and he prays and everything around him goes quiet, it is what he's seeking deep inside his heart that will speak to him. The Bible says transgression speaks to the wicked in his heart. That is, these things they speak. Unfortunately, when we don't understand, because of the way the voice just rises from the depths of our hearts, you know what we will say? It's my spirit. So you see a girl, a young, good Christian, mommy of fellowship style, you know those kind of people that on campus, hey, Shama, Mama, that's how they greet you in the morning. They are so spiritual. Only those prayer-warring brothers, evangelism leaders, can think that God spoke to them that they should propose to that kind of person. Yet, now what I'm telling you is a real story. One day you will hear that this girl is getting married and she will marry somebody that everybody apart from her knows is an unbeliever. And when you ask her, I say, oh girl, what happened? Say, my spirit. And you can't argue because in the day you met her, she had been spiriting. Everything has been her spirit. When you see her hair, you want to say, ah, sis, your hair is fine, no? He said, you know, when I was going to this salon, my spirit said I should do this style. Oh, does she go to salon? People like her, no. What is she looking for there? Things of the world. When I went to the plating joint, yeah, that's where she will go. I was just praying. And then I sit where I saw in the spirit, two angels passed and they had this hairstyle. Now I said, me, I do. So the same person that tells you now, who are you to talk? I found out later she was not lying. Yes, her spirit was speaking. And her spirit said to her, arise, my daughter. This is he that the Lord has sent. He doesn't believe. What does it matter? Your spirit has spoken. If you look very closely, he's rich. If you look very closely, he's from the local government that her father likes. If you look very closely, all the four younger ones she has been thinking of how she will handle, this guy is going to handle everything. If you look very closely, that was what was speaking to her. That was why, after they cast lots and everything to choose a replacement for Judas, Peter said in prayer, God, you are the only one that knows the heart of all men. Tell us who of these two that you have chosen. Because only God knew the hearts of people. No matter how spiritual this person looked, only God knew her heart. What was inside her heart? The rest of you did not know that Simon the sorcerer was living there. She prophesied all these years with Simon the sorcerer still there. And many believers, that is the problem we have. So that was why last year, in school of prayer, we kept on praying things like this. Search me, O Lord. You know, try me and know my heart. Search me and know my anxious thoughts. Because sometimes you yourself, you don't know it. Listen to me. Simon was not a bad man because he believed. He's there. And when you see, when Peter finished railing on him, he didn't get angry. That's to let you know he was not a bad man. He didn't get angry. What did he say? He said, pray for me. Yourselves, so that nothing of what you have said may come upon me. He wasn't a bad person. When the Bible says he believed, he really believed.
After believing, he was still in the gall of bitterness. After believing, there were still evil things in his heart. That's what I meant when I said the Bible, God said concerning creation, that he had to now come and separate what? Light from darkness. Every one of us need to learn to separate light from darkness. I hope you're getting my point here. So many things that we say, my spirit spoke, don't be impressed with that. Because many people's spirits that spoke that confused you. It was other things that had polluted the spirit that was speaking to them. Those things spoke and it was clear in their ears. It's my spirit. But like I said, part of the problem is that we didn't realize that when you use the word spirit, it's not only that seed of God that's lying around there. Bitterness often lies there. People don't know. So they make statements, they make judgments. They don't realize that they are bitter. They don't realize that somebody that they are angry with, the anger is still there. And that's why I began this evening by saying, one question you must ask yourself, what is the most important thing to you? What really are you looking for in life? One of these the songs of Kirk Franklin, one of the, I think, this should be my amongst my top three of all Kirk Franklin tracks I've heard, was the one that said, what are you looking for? If I knew, if I played it. Because what you are looking for in life, that is actually what congeals into your spirit and starts speaking up to you. When God came to speak to Solomon, it was in a dream. Solomon didn't get up physically. He was lying down there. Solomon, you know, the normal daily activities were gone. Whatever Solomon asked God for that time was what was deepermost in his heart. And that's why God came to him at that time. Nobody confused him that morning. The bandit you drove past couldn't affect him. Maybe all the kings from Egypt, from Syria, all the kings from around, they came. The king of the Ammonites, Edomites, they came to greet him that day. And they came with royal vehicles, gold everywhere. That was not going to affect him. That was a day's encounter. What was inside there, what was deepermost in his heart, was what spoke up when the Lord appeared to him in a dream. The man was asleep. Let's put it like this. His spirit man rose and spoke. You're getting the point I'm making here? So the question therefore is that, what is it that is driving you? That's the question every Christian must ask herself. You know, when people are arguing sometimes about doctrines, I've learned, there's a way I say it, that if an adult tells you 2 + 2 = 5, don't quarrel. An adult comes and tells you 2 + 2 = 5. You know he knows it is 4. So how come in his own situation it is 5? And we have gotten into arguments before, morning, afternoon, and evening. On 2 + 2 = 4, he said, no, it is 5. Excuse me, sir. You bring out the crown. You know, did you learn to count with crown? Or sticks. 1, 2, 1, 2. Then you mix it together. Did you do mixing together? As if that mixing was necessary to get the right figure. You count it for the man. He will look at the 4 and say, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I learned long ago, there's no point arguing. He has a 5th one that you don't know about. He does. He's counting it. And what's that 5th one? That 5th one is that he has checked the result of agreeing that 2 + 2 = 4. And he does not like the result. For that reason, he cannot accept that 2 + 2 = 4. The implications are too many. He can't live with the implication. So he keeps arguing with you, putting scriptures here and there. You are arguing on things that are so clear from scriptures. But the man will never agree. As far as he's concerned, 2 + 2 must be equal to 5. Now, this is what I'm going to explain. Whatever we are looking for in life affects what we hear, affects what we understand. It does. It affects what we hear. It affects what we understand. Listen, one man said something once. He said, his friends told him that, look, go to that church. They are teaching how to make people rich. I don't know whether you're getting my point. A young man is confused. And his friend said to him, go to that church. If you go to that church, you will learn how to be rich. So he came to church and became a good Christian. I don't know whether I get my point. He became a good Christian. And you see, the truth is this. Now, bear this in mind. You know, there's this man, this Australian man I quote once in a while, Peter Daniels. Peter Daniels, he was known in Australia, he used to be on radio, you know, and teaching. Now, not teaching Bible now, but teaching business. But being a Christian, he used to teach, you know, sound Christian principles. And one thing he kept on saying is that this principles are good for business. And it was correct. This is where I'm going. So if you come to church looking for money, and you go to a church where they teach everything balanced, you can learn some principles that are good, even though you are not born again, and it will be good for your business. I've met people before. I remember one man I met. He told me how he used to listen to me on radio. And some things I taught, he told me he used it to work in one government house. He followed that principle. He made double the amount of money he would have otherwise made if he did not follow the things I said. So it happens. So you see the man, he'll be diligent coming to church. He will join. I mean, don't forget, church is also a social arrangement. You have friends there. So you'll come regularly. And we're always doing these seminars. And then next thing, we'll start doing business networking. The man, either he did never fully gave his life to Christ, or he did like Simon, but still bound to covetousness. But we keep on preaching prosperity. Now, not listen to me. Nothing wrong with preaching prosperity, because it's the word of God. So I'm not saying that it's even pastors that caused it. You are preaching prosperity. Listen, if you preach poverty, those who have a depressed spirit will follow you. I don't know whether you're getting my point. Listen. Many of the churches that preach certain modes of dressing, half of those following them are following them for two reasons. One, they are poor. Two, they are depressed. What I'm telling you is not a joke. I'm telling you the truth. It is known. We learned these things when we were studying psychology and psychiatry those days. Listen, you can look at somebody's dressing. It will tell you whether he's happy or he's not happy. If you see an adult, anytime he comes out, he never irons his shirt. Look. You're in Enugu, you don't iron your shirt. He shows something is wrong. Don't pretend. These are things of this world. It's not things of this world, though. Bros, come and see us. Let's talk. What's your problem? And it's not whether you are rich or poor. I've seen people that didn't have anything. The little, that is, if I remember one brother in school, and that you see him always looking sharp, crystal clean, but he couldn't afford to buy one shirt. Any shirt you see on him, other people dashed him. But his spirit was alive. So his spirit ironed the shirt, ironed the trouser, mended it. When you see him looking good and rich. So what I'm going to say is that we are not blaming the man who preached prosperity. Those days when I was in Lagos, okay? So people started criticizing Bishop Oyedepo. Now, Bishop David Oyedepo of Winners. And people had just come to that church and they have become people covetous Christians. You know, I couldn't understand. You know why I couldn't understand? When I was listening to Bishop, I listened to him so much, my shoes developed holes under. I did not notice. I don't know whether you're getting my point. He gave me a different perspective to life. I was not afraid of poverty. I didn't have money. I don't think I had. And when I had, I did not remember to buy shoes. One day I went to Benin. This pastor, Courage, and some of our sisters, they saw me. No, I was with him. He didn't say anything. So now God went to see some sisters. So one of them said, "Ha, Banky, this is your shoe. Why is he praising God like this? That this shoe was facing one direction." All of them began to yap me. So I turned to him. He was with me. Say, "This guy is a loyal friend, you know. He will be on my side." I said, "Man of God, you think?" Ah. He said, "I didn't want to say. Let it not be as if he's." Etu. Listen, I got angry. Let me tell you something. I went back to Lagos and bought 2 pairs of Italian shoes, top quality. I can still see them in my eyes. So at that time, it was not money that was my problem. But Bishop Oyedepo had removed. I couldn't see the things of the world. Honest, I'm not lying to you. One day I laughed. My friend said, "Look at him. He's laughing like a bishop." That was when I heard my own laughter. You know, I now replayed my laughter in my head. We used to laugh like bishop. If you listen to one single person for over 500 hours in 8 months, over 500 hours, calculate that. That was more than 50 hours a month. Because if it's 10 months, that would be 50 hours a month. I was doing almost 60 hours every month, which meant that no day passed. On the average, I did 2 hours of listening to him a day. But at the end of the day, some say they were criticizing him that he's made people covetous. I say, "Who did you listen to? Is this the same man? Is this the same man? Is the one I quote till today? That why do I want to die because of something that can catch fire?" Those words were his words. He said he had a Mercedes Benz that had 280. They needed money to do some evangelism work. He gave them the key. Go and sell it. They sold the car, used it to preach. He now said, "Look at it.
because of an ordinary car that can catch fire. Come and see the result that we are getting in ministry. That was what I heard from him. He taught me things. He made me understand that a man's life does not consist in the abundance of things which he possesses. Some of the people were criticizing that I bought private jet. You know, I could not. I don't know whether you're getting my point. He didn't tell us be poor in life. But he taught us that money doesn't control your life. He taught us that God can prosper you anywhere. Those are the things I learned to. Some people went there and became criminals. There are people who are angry with Bishop till today. Why? The first time they saw him, he was driving a Lincoln Navigator. But for me, I mean, I knew he had his Lincoln Navigator. It didn't bother me. We will rise up early. Hey, God. I will take 3 buses to get to Yanapaja because we are going for school of ministry. Leave my house by 6 a.m. in the morning because I had to walk to Mushin, take a bus to Oshodi to Yanapaja to church. Oh boy, that takes time. Be there by 8 in the morning, getting ready for school of ministry. What was I learning? I was learning that these material things don't control your life. I was learning that God can bring prosperity anywhere, anytime. The same God in India is the same God here. Those are his words. But you see, when people had the covetous spirit and they got in there, when they saw money, see money. See, how do we get it? When he says, you will sow a seed, they will go and steal and sow. I'm telling you. Why? Because what they were pursuing, that's what I'm talking about. That spirit inside them was driving them. They were cherry picking and choosing the things that they wanted to hear. So no matter how much a man preached against some other things, they didn't hear those things. From the same words, the first day I sat down, and people were criticizing me on some things. I was bemused. Like, are we talking about the same person here? Those days, anytime he spoke, you see, you wanted to live for Christ and you wanted to die for Christ at the same time. I remember once, I was talking with my mother, we're just talking about, of course, a lot of our friends are traveled abroad and all of that. So she now dropped one line. This person has gone abroad. I said, I didn't know, I just opened my mouth. I said, Bishop Oyedepo said, a lizard in Nigeria, it was quoted as Bishop Benson Dawsa, it was from his mother, heard it, will not become an alligator in America. My mother said, you have come again. I have come again. Where else will I go? Those are the things we heard. The kind of spirit you have affects what you hear. The other day, co-workers, now at the beginning of the year, I explained it here when we were having our meeting. That's one of the things that have given me. People were criticizing Bishop Oyedepo. Me too, I've been criticized too. And it's good. When you've been criticized, maybe you are not important. You are not important. If nobody's criticizing you, forget. You can't find your name on Google. Forget. They have not yapped you yet. Hey, yeah. So I've been criticized too. Amen. I don't make them. One day I was criticized. Of course, again and again I've been criticized. Now, one of the ways I get criticized, is that people hear me wrongly. Now, you see what I'm saying? Many people get the impression that I am saying Christians should not give. I've heard people tell me, one brother said he thought I said Christians should not give. Now, did you ever get that impression? It shows you are normal. Some people got that impression that Christians should not give. I said, how could I have said that? How's Kingdom World Ministries running? How could I have said that? But now I realize, some of the things that happened, that's where I'm going. No matter what you preach, certain people will use you as an excuse. All of you have heard me long enough know that I don't believe that God commanded that we must be regularly calculating 10% of our income for anything. I believe that if you want to do that, it's your choice. And I can make it a law and say, in Kingdom World Ministries, don't pass through this door unless you show me the bank printout where you automated deduction of 15%. It's not the law of God, I know. It's the law of banking. As I'm the president and commander-in-chief of Kingdom World Ministries, can do as I like. If you don't like it, what do? You don't come. So you go and listen to my messages, but you will not come because you don't want to do bank printout. Do you get my point? So, what I'm trying to say is that it's your life. People say that, should I give my whole January salary as first fruit? I say, it's your money. You can do what you like with it. I do what I like with my own. That's what I believe. Now, some people are liberated by that and they become very generous. And around me, I have very generous people. Because true believers, when they are liberated, they are very generous people. But you know what? Some people are not liberated. They are stingy. They don't want to drop their money. Pastor Nogo say, "Pian can like this will not drop." When you say, why are we not seeing your money? Say, Pastor Banky said, and I become the one they are quoting. Wicked people are quoting me. I don't know whether you are getting my point. They won't quote the other aspect that I said a New Testament tither is the cheerful and generous giver. They won't quote that one. They will not quote it. They won't quote it that I've said that there was a time I was being owed money for a whole year. The money came, shoom, we gave it out. They won't quote that one. All they will quote is that he said, "Yeah, well, your whole January salary is not your first fruit. It's as you like it. Last year, as he liked it, he ate everything. February, as he liked it, he ate everything. March, he's been eating everything. When you say, where's your tithe? Pastor Frank says it's not compulsory. I am not the excuse they are using to defend wickedness. You know, I told you before, if you look, the other days when we were in school, when they preached, you know, God does not look on the outside. It's not how you dress that takes you to heaven. It's what's inside your heart. It's inside your heart. There's what they call exhibitionism. It's a personality type. Some people like to show off their body. So, you know, they found themselves in such churches. Even they say, sister, dress well now. That's not what's taking you to heaven. God looks at the heart. You men can look at my breast. That's your problem. God is looking at my heart. God does not see as he has seen. You are the one that has kana. Omo, wala de. You know if you talk again. Because they have all the right scriptures to quote for you. Meanwhile, the real problem, notice me, is their problem. They have a notice me spirit. If they are not noticing them, they won't sleep well that night. They did not come to church and be using what you preached. And you know, it's in the Bible like that. God said to Samuel, "I look at the heart. I don't look outside." Oh God, when we were in school, I don't know about now, we saw all kinds of things. You go to fellowship. There are some fellowships that you start wondering that. They used to help us when we were on campus. Go to some fellowship, you see the uselessest. Is that English good? Okay, don't like it. Okay, let me use the number one, the one you are used to. The most useless. You see most useless dressing in church. Why? Because they took one scripture and used to justify what was already in their own hearts. Please, I hope you're getting my point. That is how I got into being criticized too. Because some bad people used me as an excuse to be stingy. But you are all witnesses unto me. Are you getting my point? Am I like that? Is that what I thought? God forbid. I can't teach such things. Now, what am I saying all of this? I'm saying all of this so let's understand. So when people now start telling you their spirit, know what is pushing them. Many times, it's those things that are pushing people. And they start claiming it's their spirit. This is the main thing we're trying to say. Let's get back to where we began reading from. Where do we start from? 1 Corinthians chapter 4, yes. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Believers in Christ Jesus, this is what must be our primary push. He said, "Let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found what? Faithful." It is required in stewards that one be what? Found faithful. Found what? Found what?
Faithful.
I want to hear the word from your mouth. Found?
Faithful.
You know, I don't know who said this, but one man of God said something. So people talk about mansion in heaven. Maybe there are mansions, he doesn't know. Whatever be the crown they are given in heaven, he said he really doesn't care about it. He said what is most important to him is one thing. That one day he will see the Lord, and the Lord will say to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant." He said, that's all the reward he needs. That statement. The Lord brings out the hand and says, "Shake my hand. Well done. Good and faithful servant. What am I teaching? I'm teaching that for believers, that is what we should be going for. You've heard me say it again and again. I don't believe in the gospel of success. I don't believe in it. I totally don't believe in it. But my reason is that, how do you define success? How do you define success? Isaiah preached and preached and preached, said, I've spent my strength for nothing and for vanity. Jeremiah preached, nobody believed him. Jeremiah said so much. He said, what did the word of God bring for me? You know what Jeremiah said? He said, it brought for me enmity. My friends left me. I became a name, like, he's coming. People are just, as Jeremiah is approaching. He said, hey, okay, we'll see tomorrow now. They will disappear. They will scatter. Why? Jeremiah is approaching. Listen. In South Korea, Brother Yonggi Cho, he built the largest single congregation in the world. Jeremiah built the smallest congregation in the world. He was not liked by people. So bad. You know, at a point in time, Jeremiah said something. He said, now this word has now become a source of shame, a source of derision, a source of enmity for me. So what am I going to do? I won't say anything again. I will no longer preach. So he went to one and said, a man of God, anything? He said, nothing. God is not speaking again. Leave it. Then he lay down at night, and the pressure in his soul would not let him sleep. He said, the word became like fire shot up in my bones. So he came out again and began to prophesy. If he wanted to count congregation, Jeremiah didn't have. He didn't build a big church. What about Ezekiel? Ezekiel had a big church. Ezekiel's church was big. They were always expanding. Ezekiel, people would gather and say, oh boy, were you in service last time? No. The rhymes that pastor brought from heaven. He said, if you can see the invisible, you will do the impossible. He said, He said, perspire to acquire the desire that you admire. And don't retire, but refire. He said, oh boy, they go church. His church kept on enlarging. Then God called him Jeremiah and Ezekiel. He said, not one of them is doing what you say. He said, to them, you are an entertainer. He said, they come to you as people come. They say, let's go and hear the word from the mouth of the pastor. Of course, that one prophet. He said, but what do they do? He said, they hear your words, they don't do them. He said, you are nothing but a man who sings well and plays skillfully on an instrument. Basically, Ezekiel was seen by the Israelites as an entertainer. What do you call success? Nobody followed Jeremiah. They didn't like him. Ezekiel, they liked him. The guy was handsome. Everybody followed him. Once he's doing Holy Ghost night, everybody's there. God called him and said, oh boy, don't deceive yourself. Not one of them is believing what you are saying. That's why I don't like that. So God, the gospel of success. Should we go to Revelations again? For time's sake, we'll open it. You can read Revelation chapter 3. The one we quote all the time, the church in Smyrna, in Laodicea. Rich church. They will just come and say, we're expanding that direction because we need to redo that wall. The wall we used before was made with Dangote cement. We now found this imported cement. We'll break it down. We'll redo it. We'll now tile it. Every idea they had money to carry it out. If they hear a man say, this guy preaches where it's in America, fly him down. They had money. Let us pray. Say, what are we praying about, brethren? Can we pray about something else? Brethren, write your checks. They write the check. Why pray when there's money? But Jesus looked at them and shook his head. Because they were bragging. We are rich. We have need of nothing. But Jesus said, you don't realize that you are what? You are poor. You are wretched. You are blind. You are naked. You are miserable. Yes. Thank you. Those are the words he used to describe a very rich church. There are churches in Nigeria today. When I look at them sometimes, they're Laodicea and Awa. You know, you see. Yeah. Don't ask me which church. You can't guess. But there are many rich churches that are good. Some of the rich churches are better. So there are all kinds of rich churches. I didn't say anyone was bad. Did you hear that? I didn't say anyone was bad. It was not like, just look. Say, one of these churches is from Laodicea. You just look at all of them. How do you define success? That's the point I'm making. How do you define it? There was another church a few verses before in chapter 2. The church in Smyrna. That one, nothing. The floor of the church was not cemented. The roof was leaking. Car park, what are you parking? Nothing. They were known for poverty. And Jesus looked at them. He said, I know of your poverty. He said, but let me let you into a secret. Actually, you are rich. So how do you define success? This interesting part. The church in Laodicea was not being persecuted. Go and read it too. They were rich. Governor would come there for Thanksgiving. There was no persecution. The commissioner of police was a member. Who wanted to persecute them? Who will persecute them? The church was popular. That's why they felt, look, people were doing business there every day. But the church in Smyrna, this interesting part, they were poor. Then God now said they're about to be tested. I don't know whether you are getting my point. In the midst of poverty, temptation will now join. Waiting now. Listen, if we want to be Christians, let's be Christians. We have to learn to value life the way Jesus does. And you know why God was treating them like that? He said, he that bears fruit, I will prune, so that he can bear more fruit. Now to them, be faithful. You are sending us to prison. We should be faithful. You are giving money to the church in Laodicea. We should be faithful. What about those ones in Laodicea? But God warned those ones, I'm about to take away your candle. Many times when churches will scatter, it's because God has been warning them for years. But what we're seeing from outside, man, if you get to that church parking lot, the pastor's car alone, is enough for you to give your life to Christ. You heard that kind of thing before? Nonsense. Jesus said, these are churches I'm about to close. That next week you come here, they won't be there anymore. They will now go to social media and start protesting. They want to Islamize Nigeria. That's why the churches are closing down. It's because of Islamic agenda. Jesus said, Islamic agenda cannot survive where I am. The reason why you are closing is that I remove your candle. That's why I'm not into this issue of success. You know what? You are preaching. What do you have to show for it? You know what Paul said? He said, don't judge anything until the end. It's only Jesus that knows what is going on. So don't tell me somebody does not know what have anything to show. Just because he gets to the church, he has been in the town for some time, he doesn't have a 5,000 member congregation, and his last birthday, they did not gather money to buy him the latest GL550. You know, there are preachers who have left this city and ran to Abuja. Sometimes you ask believers, that's what I'm preaching about this evening. That what are you looking for? Success as a pastor is not counted in the size of the congregation. It's not. It is not counted in the beauty of your pulpit. So we got a designer from Los Angeles to come and look at it, and then, oh wow, the glory of God is only rubbish. Which glory? Some of these we celebrate if only you will see what Jesus is saying about them. Somebody prophesied recently. I heard that prophecy again this morning. He said, the Lord has said that all these churches, that will remove their roof. I'm removing all the roofs. That's what he said. Well, she actually. I still heard it this morning. So the Lord said, this season, I'm coming, and I'm going to start tearing roof off. And rain will fall on all of them, and then they will scatter. Now listen, people of God, get ready. When you start hearing scandals, don't listen to the scandal. Just know that people have been scattered. He said that they will scatter. People will scatter up and down. One thing I can assure you is that they will not go to social media. And after it's Erufai. He said, we were told not to vote for APC. Did we not warn you that it's an Islamic party? But let me just warn you ahead, people of God, forget that. It's not an Islamic party. It's Jesus removing roof. Say, you people are too comfortable inside here. Come, remove that roof. Rain, fall. When rain falls, they won't come next time. They will go somewhere and go and hear the word. They are going to church in Laodicea. They are not succeeding. Materially, they look like they are succeeding. But in reality, they are not. I said that prophecy this morning. A prophecy I believe very seriously that God said this from this season. And interestingly enough, I also heard it from Sadhu Sundar Selvaraj. I heard it from different places. So get ready. As God is removing roof, breaking pillar, you hear one scandal, church that there used to be 2,000, you come next Sunday, you see 250. And 250, we look at each other. What are we still doing here? But don't be angry. That's what I'm preaching. Don't be angry. The way God, the Lord Jesus judges success is the point we are making. The way the Lord Jesus judges success is not the way the world judges it. So what I'm preaching to Christians is, listen, what God wants from you is faithfulness. It's not worldly success. It's not. You can't live. Now, listen, you can be thinking of somebody in your mind. I'm not thinking of people, really. I know I'm a human being too, so I may be tempted to think of somebody. But I'm not preaching about anybody to you. The Lord sees my heart. But many people have left Enugu because Abuja is sweet. Lagos is sweet. Listen, let me pray one prayer for you. When you are going your own way, may you not succeed in it. Amen. Say amen. No. If God said be in Enugu and you park and somebody drags you to Port Harcourt, may you fail in Port Harcourt if God didn't send you there.
Amen.
You know why? Because when your problems begin, is when you get there and you start succeeding. You will now turn around and say, I said so. The moment we move down here, breakthrough. As soon as we came to this city, the city opened to us. You don't know that Laodicea has swallowed you. You are coming from Smyrna. Are you getting my point? Paul was in Smyrna. Demas did not like Smyrna. So he went to where? Laodicea. Yeah, that's what happened. And you get there suddenly, as soon as you arrive, Pastor, you're welcome. Is this your car? He said, yes. Ah, sir, we don't drive this kind of car here. So four brothers in church, you say, no, the Lord spoke to us to settle you. The quickest one they can find for you is a Hyundai, maybe Veracruz. Say, Pastor, please just manage. Normally our pastor uses a GL550, but you see, it takes us a while. So, and then you say, ah, and I was in Enugu. You try, ah, yeah, yeah. like somebody said, this is ministry. So one man, after preaching, they went went to the big man of God's house. They now served food. He chopped finished. He said, ha, this is ministry. The big man looked at him and said, my friend, this is not ministry, this is food. We have your seat. Listen, if a place where God didn't send you becomes comfortable, you're in trouble. It's more difficult to retrace your steps. Oh, it's more difficult. That's why I say you should say amen to that prayer that I prayed, because it's important. But if you get there, the first day you arrive, Mopo slap you. You know, you will look like, what? It's if you talk, I shoot you. Eh, no, I'm not talking about life. Close your mouth. You know, instantly you will go home. Say, the Lord is not with me here. Next day you are going back to Enugu. Next day. Like when the Pastor Corey said something once, is it easy to preach you today? If you know Pastor Corey, those days, a sharp dresser. We went to school together. Nobody's looking clean. So I can imagine, say one day, he shined his father's car he used to drive that time and shined his own shirt. Shined everything. And was driving in Benin, going to meet a business contact. Then stopped in the holdup. Then one madman came to his window and spat on him. You know, it looked like he just came. Pah! And spat on him. He said initially he wanted to get angry. Then he stopped being angry. He turned the car and went back home, removed his shirt, and started planning to go to Sokoto. He said, this is a sign that I have stayed too long here. That the thing in my heart that said I should move over to Sokoto and go and start ministry there, I've left it behind. He didn't leave that day, but he started planning. And a few months after that, he was gone. What was it that pushed him? He didn't look for trouble. He was, somebody just came to the window, just look. He read the spiritual sign. That to him, it was a spiritual sign. He said, no. This, something is wrong. This is not the place of my rest. It is polluted. That's why I pray that prayer for people. Because many times when people don't understand what success is, they look at somebody. I mean, ministry. For those who are in ministry, it's very interesting. Church people can look. They will just frustrate you. If you don't know where to look. A man who entered ministry before you, he will park and say, ah, man of God, how are you? Let me give you a lift. You know why he's giving you a lift? You say you don't have a serious car. The one you have is Udechukwu. Ude carried it 2 days ago, 3 days ago. And he's calling you, Pastor, thyroids are bad. Say, I'm coming. You're still praying. That's why you're in Keke now. And the man you baptized, anointed, taught the rudiments of the gospel. He stops. He says, ah, this your car is fine. He said, yeah, it was my birthday last week. The church people bought it for me. And you're thinking, these wicked people in this Enugu. you start getting angry for nothing. Your spirit starts saying that the will of God is after a place becomes dry, Elijah will move. Move from the brook because the brook is now dry. And he's going to Abuja. Why? Your spirit will say go. You know why? Because the man you baptized, the man you taught the rudiments of the gospel, he went to Abuja. And normal birthday, somebody dashed him such a sharp ride. And you're there preaching all this wine. You now start getting angry. That the problem with the Enugu is that coal is under, so the hearts of people are dark. All kinds of revelations. No, you will start getting all kinds of revelations. One day a man said, look, what I want to tell you, not a joke. You know, there are things you hear. Look, believers, listen to me. Make sure you are seeking the Lord. That the only thing you want is to be pleasing to him. A man of God, not today, which year are we in? 2019. This story I'm telling you is more than 5 years ago. He said, on a normal Sunday, Pastor Murphy, don't get angry at what I'm about to tell you. On a normal Sunday after service, any day he gets personal offering of 3 million naira, he will go and check his message, whether it was a bad message. That 3 million naira? What did I say that offended people? That's a bad Sunday, 3 million. Not 2019. Tell you a story of more than 5-6 years ago. Pastor finishes preaching at the end of the day. Sir, I was blessed. I was blessed. I was blessed. Just in his office, I was blessed. Put it there. I was blessed. Put it there. I was blessed. He said if he totals the money after service and it's less than 3 million naira, or it's 3 million naira and less, he's concerned that what did I preach that is wrong? Which means there are days it's 5. There are days it is 6. It's not like the man preaches 18 hours. It's normal 1 hour service, maximum two of it. Those are the kind of things some people will hear. After preaching in one place for a long time, they say, no, something is wrong. And listen to me, then their spirits start telling them things. So let me summarize my message so we can close. Listen to this. What I'm preaching this evening is this. For you, ask yourself a question. One, that is two things I'm saying. First, ask yourself a question. What really am I looking for? Number two, which is the main message, make sure that what is most important to you is that you are pleasing to the Lord as a faithful servant. Every other thing is not important. The size of the church is not a big deal. Listen, those are not primary important things. Isaiah said, I have spent my strength for nothing and for vanity. That's how a man can be discouraged. What's most important, you look back. Did we break the laws of God? Did we show ourselves lazy? Did God open doors we refuse to step into them? Once you have satisfied yourself with all of these things, you leave the rest to God. That's how it works. We said last time, which country should I go? Which country should I stay in? Ask yourself, where can I contribute? Where am I needed? You know, somebody said something once. When a person was trying to yap the foreign oil companies for how they refused to allow the indigenous people develop. He said, what they just do is pay you a fast. They will send you abroad for something, put in an office, pay you a very fast salary. And they know you won't complain, but you won't learn anything. We are making decisions in life. Those are the kind of things we check. Where do I go? Just ask yourself, where am I needed? Somebody wants to put me on a seat, give me plenty of money, and ensure that I undergo what we call disuse atrophy. No. Look, anytime Satan wants to deceive people, he doesn't have many options in life. One of the major ones he uses is to just sit down, at least the money is good. He still uses money to buy people's destinies till tomorrow. The age at which you built a house does not say anything about whether you are succeeding or failing. It doesn't. If they ask many of us preachers today, let's talk about Paul. Who do you want to be like? Do you want to be like Paul? We'll all put up our hands. But we don't mean it. We don't mean it. Because if they sit us down and show us what it means to be like Paul, we'll change our minds. Because Paul didn't have a bishop's court. There was no personage for Paul. The only time he had his own house that we know of is prison. No, really, Paul used to move up and down. He would go to Ephesus and teach for 3 years. At the end of the day, say, I know you will not see my face anymore. The church is not his own. He built a very big church, established it, and said to them, you will not see my face anymore. Do you think we really want to be like, well, most of us don't want to be? Who wants to be shipwrecked? Even me preaching. I don't want to be shipwrecked. No, I won't lie to you. What is the big deal? Who likes to be shipwrecked? Why? Lord, please, I don't want to be shipwrecked. It's true. But God says, if you want, you know, two people came one day, James and John. They said to the Lord, we want to sit on your left and on your right. Jesus said, be careful the kind of thing you ask for. Be very, very careful. You want to sit on my left and my right? Let me tell you the prerequisite. You will drink the cup I'm about to drink. That cup, you will drink it too. You know, he said, are you able? Next time they ask you a question, you don't know the answer. Say, I don't know the answer. The two boys said, we are able. How can you be able to drink what you have not seen before? You know, I don't understand for human beings. When people have desires, they just confuse them. One day, I was talking to one guy who wanted to go abroad. He hasn't gone. Thank God for his life. But describing some things, some challenges. He said, let's reach there first. I said, you're a fool. They are telling the challenges. He said, let's reach there first. When people's desires have blocked their eyes, that's when they make such statements. Let's just reach there first. There are places you get to and you can't come back. Are you aware of that? We're just trying to explain to the man, look at the issues, look at challenges. Hey, let's get there first. What's the point I'm making? Listen, ask yourself, what really am I looking for in life? And as Christians, this is what we must be looking for. To be found faithful. To be found faithful. Remember we said wanted. God wants people that he can count on. One of the things that God wants, you know, the reference explains something very, very beautiful. He said he was describing what it means to be a slave of Christ. That most people these days can't understand the concept. Do you understand? That when you are somebody's slave, now follow this. The fellow does with you whatever he wants. That when slaves are sold, okay? Let's use the word lock. Slaves have different kinds of locks. Some become house slaves. You go to a rich man's house, a kind man. He just wants somebody to cook his food. You know? Make his bed, take care of his children, and all of that. That slave will just enjoy. The fellow is still a slave. But a slave will go to another house sometimes. Man, you go to a man's house, a bad man. He's broke. Listen, he literally will turn his female slave to a prostitute. And she can't say anything. He was trying to explain what it means to be the slave of Christ. I mean, an issue here. Of course, we have a good Lord. Somebody say amen. We have a good Lord. But this is what he wants us to understand also. He does with us what he likes. And we must learn to be content with that. That is, your desire in life should be, I must be found pleasing. I must live my life that at the end of life, I look back, have I pleased God or have not? That is what must be important to us. Listen to me, Christians. Any other thing you pursue outside this, you are setting yourself up for failure. You will fail. The world may not think so. But as a matter of fact, it is called failure. The problem we have is that the world wants to set a standard for us. And people start pursuing it. So anything they hear, they are using that thing to pursue the standard that the world has set for them. It's in their hearts. People say they want to do ministry. They don't really want to do ministry. For them, it's another job. It's a well-paying job. He has a career path. One day, you are going to become a general overseer of some sort. And then, you will settle. Your children are settled. And that is what we come into ministry to do. Other times, some people are not like that. They just feel like, and they feel very righteous. I'm not like that. I am not like that. Before I go into that ministry? Nah. I'm not looking for anybody's money. So what am I going to do first? I will establish businesses. So that when I start preaching, everybody will know I did not come here to look for money. And I will have enough money to be meeting all my needs. And you know what? They sound very, very what? Righteous, spiritual. That these are the good ones. But you know what? As far as God is concerned, him and the other one, they are the same. Why? Because he must have his security. That is important to him. So what is he pursuing in life? Security. Such people are also not useful for what God wants to do. They are also not useful. Because what is more important to them is not what God wants them to do, but how safe they will be while they are doing it. That's my message for today. I don't have much to say. But for all of us to ask ourselves, what really are we looking for in life? Are we seeking our own, you know, what Paul you use now? Are we seeking our own? Yeah, that's the way to put it. Are we seeking our own, or we are seeking the things of the Lord? And when you are seeking the things of God, listen to me, they are not always nice. That's the point I'm making. When Jesus met Paul, you know the first thing he told Paul? He said he showed him the things that he will suffer for his sake. There were two questions that Paul asked the Lord. Remember, we talked about it, was it last year or the year before? We must never forget. Everybody must ask that question. Two questions. What was the first one? Who are you, Lord? What's the second one? What do you want me to do? That's the word. The whole of life is centered around those two questions. Who are you, Lord? And what do you want me to do? Listen to me. Not what do you want me to have? Not what will you give me? The problem we have a lot of times, Christians, we have tied service to reward. So when we are serving, what we will what will be rewarded with is what is primary in our hearts. So if we mistakenly prosper materially, praise God. You know, those days, when we began to serve in this place, people thought that, you know, we start telling stories. What is the story about? And we are giving the pulpit why? We have prospered materially. That is the problem we have as believers. And young people now learn that. They set that before their eyes. And we start saying things like, I may be suffering now, but I know that the time is coming when me too, I will start enjoying. So you see the young man, he's laboring. He's going from bush to bush, planting churches. What? In front of his eyes, see that one day will come. I'll become a GO. And I'll be flying around a private jet. And at the end of the day, listen to me, people of God. A true child of God will always be disappointed if you have such thoughts. You will always be disappointed. That's one of the major problems we have in today's Christianity. Everything we do, people have they put the reward in front of us. So we are not serving for the sake of serving. We are serving for the sake of the reward. And anybody that's serving for the sake of the personal gain gains nothing. That's why I said to Christians, giving offering is good, though. Save me if you believe it. But you need grace to forget. Seriously, you need grace. What do I mean by grace to forget? You need grace so that when you are finished giving an offering, you don't remember you did. Believe me, people of God, it is important. Your good works, you know, I've preached this thing until I feel like everybody can preach it for me. Who will come and finish it for me? Your good works must never come to your mind when you go to pray. Please, don't let it. If it comes, all right, receive it, lay it before the Lord, and confess it as the first sin for the day. Say, Lord, as I was about to pray, I noticed last week I gave my whole month's salary to church as a way of just supporting the work of ministry. And today as I began to pray, that thought came to my mind, and I'm feeling good about it. Thank you, Lord, that I'm feeling good about it. But Lord, the part I don't understand is that it's not giving me the impression that you are going to bless me specially today. That thought, I repent of it in Jesus' name. Amen. Then you start praying. To feel good that you gave your whole January salary to church for the propagation of the gospel is good. The Bible says more blessed to give. You have done a more blessed thing. You should rejoice in it. But if it crosses your mind that makes February the month of breakthrough, you have smoked Canadian hemp. Why Canadian? It's legal there. And you smoked a very good breed. Pure. Undiluted. If it crosses your mind that because you release your whole January salary as an offering to the Lord, February will be good. Brethren, let me just warn you ahead. February will be bad. You will see the kind of hunger you have not seen before. You will be so broke, nobody will give you anything. Nobody will give you lift. You will trek from your office to Obete to church. You will be trekking. You say, Lord, did I not give you January salary? He said, Lord, say, yeah, I took it. He said, when do you give me something back? Hey, wait. If you want your money back, I can refund it. Then no, I mean you multiply it. I wish you know this. People of God, listen, let's tell ourselves the truth. Your February will be bad if you have that idea.
Christians must learn that what is most important to me is that I'm found what? Faithful. That I'm found faithful. That you sit down and look and say, okay, the Lord gave me money, yes, at the end of January. Did I spend it the way he wanted me to spend it? That is what is most important. Once I've done that, I'm okay. Listen, if, in quotes, my so-called mates are making the kind of advances I'm not making, no problem. I go back home and go and pray. Lord, that place I stayed and I was working, was that affecting people the way you wanted me to? Nothing wrong with doing self-appraisal. If the answer is yes, that is okay. The money you gave me, did I spend it the way you wanted me to? Yes. Did I represent Christ the way you wanted me to? If the answer is yes, how somebody else is making progress should not make you sad. You know, human beings can, they try that with me once in a while. If you are not careful, you know, something David said, I almost slipped when I saw the wicked. I saw him prosper. I almost fell down. Can you imagine David, with all the blessing God had put in his life, almost falling down, almost his foot almost slipped. And listen, if you don't watch yourself on a daily basis, you are at risk. That's why Paul said, let him that thinks he stands, should take heed lest he falls. Believers, bear it in mind. Righteousness does not pay. I'm not saying it doesn't pay. I just want you to understand that it's not supposed to pay. What does righteousness do? Nothing. It's just the way we live. Please, I need to emphasize that. It doesn't give you any bargaining chip with God. The righteousness you need to be able to bargain with God is the one you got in Christ Jesus. I don't know whether you're getting my point. That's what you need. Get used to that one. Just rest in that one. After that, any other form of righteousness you do is what you are supposed to do. Let's get away with these ideas that, all right, you know, I went to the American embassy and I applied for a visa. I did not lie at all. I told them the whole truth. So next week, I'm going for the interview. They are going to grant it. Listen, if you are thinking like that, should I tell you ahead of time? They will not grant it. And your guy who went to with you from the office will lie half of on his own. You know, that's not even his name, sir. And he will get it. Do you know why he got it? The Lord has given you over to trial, temptation. That is, he wants to see what you will do. No, he wants to see. Next time you are filling the form again, say, last time, I told the truth, nothing came out of it. And I went, they said, you have to be between maybe age 24 to 27. I cannot lie. I know I'm 28. So I went for the interview. I told them the truth. Let me not lie to people. I'm 28. So now think that they will now change it because of you. Say, thanks for telling us the truth, but you don't qualify. Ah. Oga, that man you are employing, I know him, he's 32, but he wrote. You'll be feeling bad. People of God, in case you did not know, let me teach it to you again. Now, so life be. What did I say? Telling the truth does not always get you things. That's why we don't rejoice in this so-called results. We rejoice in one thing. When I fill the form, I refuse to lie. I've checked everything. I cross-checked it front and back, center. It is the truth. Yes, we went for the visa interview. They said no. No is no. You don't always have to get. I mean, it will not happen that everything you want, you will get in life. People say, God never says no. My own God says no. He does. Oh, he does. It's not because he can't do it, but it's not everything that I want that he wants me to have. I want to travel. He said, no, you're not going anywhere. But me, I want to travel. All my mates have traveled. So, okay, fine. Go and apply for the visa. Then go and put one wicked visa officer there the day you are coming. It's his way of getting you into righteousness. It's simple. God, this is my year of breakthrough. Amen, the Lord will say to you, you still will not get the visa. Because as far as it's concerned, visa and breakthrough, they're not the same thing. Look, sometimes it surprises me you have to tell believers these things. But let's keep saying so that they will learn it. What am I going to emphasize to us believers? When you do what is right, rejoice in the fact that you did what is right. What are you rejoicing in? That the Lord is pleased with me. I like the way Oswald Chambers said it. That Christians were not called to get results, they were called to obey God. Obedience to God, God will now bless it the way he wants. Oswald Chambers said, Jesus did not even come to save the world. He said, no. I like the way he said it there.
Is that not why he came? No. What is it? I came to do thy will. In the volume of the book it is written of me. That's what he said. Thy law is within my heart. But he saved the world. Not him. That's the Father. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but do what? Have. Jesus didn't come to save the world. The Father was saving the world. Jesus came to do the will of the Father. That is the life of the believer. So this results we claim we are looking for, that is the saving the world. It's not ours to seek. It's not ours to seek. Ours is to do the will of the Father. And I'm teaching today that that must be the thing you are looking for in life. Am I pleasing to God? You wake up in the morning, am I pleasing to God? Where I'm staying, is it pleasing to God? I live in Enugu, is that pleasing to him? I'm in Lagos, is it pleasing to him? I want to move from Enugu, I'm going to Abuja, is it pleasing to him? Will you get results? It's not what you are thinking of. What is important to you is that, is this pleasing? That's what is important to you. If it is pleasing, period, you are happy. If it doesn't get results, like that's what I'm trying to say by righteousness. That's not what righteousness does. Get us results. No. Righteousness just pleases the Father. Whatever we want, we ask him for it. One major reason I'm convinced why believers have not gotten the kind of results in prayer as they should get is that they still come thinking that that thing they did right is supposed to have produced something for them. And anytime they do that, they undermine the power in the name of Jesus. What I'm telling you is a matter of fact. Anytime you do that, you undermine it. It's an unconscious thing. You want to pray, Father, I need money in the name of Jesus. And you are thinking of how much offering you gave in the last 1 month. That brother came, he was broke, you gave him money. You went to church, you gave a special seed, you gave this one, you blessed pastor, you did this one. You checked everything. And you now grab a kind of confidence. When you want to pray, and your wife is very happy, say, my husband has learned to pray. She doesn't realize that she's praying like this. He's calculating his offerings. It has come to 85% of his income in the last 1 month. He said, this month is a month of breakthrough. People of God, that's why many of us have not received anything. That's the point. We have not learned yet that what we are doing is just to please God. What does the Lord want from us today? People who just enjoy pleasing him. When he finds such people, then, let's read this. When he finds such people, Psalms, he can now do what exactly he wants with them. One of my favorite scriptures, Psalm 45. Many people are just using God, using the principles to get what they want. It won't work. That's not what God is looking for. Are you there? Psalm 45. Quickly, Psalm 45. For time, let's hurry so we can close on time. From verse 6. Your throne, O God, this was talking about Jesus Christ, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. He said, you love righteousness and hate wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. Let us read down to verse 9. All your garments are scented with myrrh and aloes and cassia, out of the ivory palaces by which they have made you glad. King's daughters are among your noble, honorable women. At your right hand stands the queen in gold from Ophir. Now, what I wanted to read, of course, is that verse 7. This was about Jesus Christ here. That verse 7. It said, you have loved righteousness and you hate wickedness. He said, for that reason, God has found you. Now, can I modify it a bit? God has found you anointable. Can I use that expression? God has found you what? Anointable. What made him anointable? The love for righteousness. One who desired, who enjoyed that the full satisfaction came from just one thing. I have done what is right in the eyes of God. Not the result it produces. That the fullness of my satisfaction in that is that God is pleased with what I did. That means if I apply, like we're saying, using that visa as an example, I apply to that for that visa, I apply for that job. Yes, they say the age limit is 27, and I know I'm 28, and I put 28, and at the end of the day, they don't employ me. I don't feel bad. That is, you know that there are things we say, God just knows. See, let me tell you something here. Every gist you gist, make sure it is pleasing to God. Did you hear what I said? No, I'm not sure you heard me well. What did I say? What do I mean? He said, those that feared the Lord spoke often one to another, and the Lord heard. What I mean is this. When you finish that kind of thing, you now come out and say, you know, David said like this, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be what? Acceptable. The word acceptable in the Bible means well-pleasing. It doesn't mean it can pass. No, that's not what it means. It means it's well-pleasing. Let everything I say be something you are happy to hear. This is the problem we have sometimes. We finish that kind of situation. You now come out. Did you get a job? No, I didn't get it. You know, in this country, they don't like truth. Did you notice that comment? Saying this, that's the problem with this country. We don't like the truth. There are people who got it now. They cut their age by 3 years. I know that guy. He's 29. He said that he's 26. But they gave him. But I told them the truth. You are angry. You know why you're angry? You felt righteousness should pay you there. Because the people said it clearly. We want a maximum of 26 or 27. And you are not within that bracket. You shouldn't even have applied. But you wanted to use your righteousness to harass somebody. Okay, I'm telling the truth to what people have come here now. They've lied to you. There are statements you must not make as believers in Christ Jesus. Those are the kinds of statements I'm saying you must never make. As if to make like, the fact that I did what was, I did righteousness, it should pay me extra. So what is the option? You wanted to lie? The anointable one is the one that enjoys the fact that every decision he makes is pleasing to God. Even when it costs him money. Even when it costs her money. Even when other people are being blessed by their own decisions, but he is not getting that kind of blessing, but he looks and says, look, did we do what is right? Let God do that which is pleasing in his sight. That is the one that is anointable. The one that says, listen, someone doesn't come within 7 days. We are not offering any sacrifice. The church will not grow. Let it not grow. People will scatter. Let them scatter. Why? It is not the right way to do things. Those are the people that are what? Anointable. Those are the people that are anointable. I told the story the other time about Ron Kenoly. He was singing and singing, looking for record deals he did not get. The day he told God, I am no longer interested, he got. And let me say something. You don't tempt God. You know what they call tempt God? So they said that if we tell you we don't want, you'll bring it. When you say you don't want, you have better mean it because he's not going to bring it. Yeah. Ron Kenoly said he had tried and tried, nothing. So one day just said, God, let's settle this matter. Nobody wants to listen to me. You will listen to me. So he sat down and played and said, after now, I am not asking anybody for anything again. It took a while. I don't think it's 2 days. I don't know how long he was there, just doing his normal job as what we call music pastor, until one of the directors of Hosanna Music now came in and said, come, record an album with us. It is the person that loves righteousness that is anointable. That's what I'm saying. Those days, they were teaching us principles of church growth. I look back now, I almost start laughing at some of them. Some of those principles of church growth, they don't grow anything. He himself does not know how. He said, but Yonggi Cho did it in South Korea. First, go to South Korea and go and do it. Who told you that what works in South Korea will work in South Nigeria? He himself does not know how. The time of seed sowing, I hope I get my point. The real time of seed sowing, most of the people don't even know they are sowing the seeds. When they are telling, this is how I did it, these are the times of harvest. This is how Yonggi Cho did it. Listen to me. Yonggi Cho came as a harvest man. He said, other men labored. You have entered into their labor. Go and read the story. Assemblies of God, they were there for decades, preaching, teaching the word. Small groups, village to village, house to house. A man showed up one day and put in the sickle because the harvest has come. You want to put in the sickle when nobody has tilled the ground. Now the principles of harvest. You now go and learn 7 keys by Yonggi Cho. He himself does not know how. He doesn't know exactly how it happened. What am I trying to say? Many of those people crammed. They didn't love righteousness. They love the reward of righteousness. He said, you visit people. You start visiting those you don't love because you want church to grow. One man said, this 1,000 visitations a week. I said, okay, I can assure you of one thing, you won't live long. Continue like that.
1,000 people a week. Some people are not planning for a long life.
But Bishop Oyedepo didn't visit anybody.
Not visiting anybody.
Yet, church grew 2,000 to 22,000 in 1 year. And he has a principle. Why are you looking for those who are not looking for you? That's his principle. He said, one day, one man came to his house in the morning. We came to check how you are doing, sir. He said, you came to check how I'm doing. You are the work I'm doing. Go and check. If you are okay, then I'm okay. You are the thing I'm doing. He didn't open the door. Told the man to go and find work. You can't be checking how I'm doing in the morning. And the church still grew. He wasn't nice to anybody. What am I trying to say? You go out, you are doing visitation. You don't love people. You love church growth. It will not grow. The people, the person that's anointable loves that righteousness. I hope you're getting my point. That is, you are going to visit because you feel the fellow needs to be visited. You heard he was sick. Or you have not seen him for a while. And you're concerned. Your spirit is not settled. So he said, let me go and check how he's doing. How's the family? Oh, it's just right for us to stop by. Then you do that. Then church grows. Somebody said, how did it grow? Said, I was checking on all my members. Then 1 week or so, we start checking on people. And as soon as he gets there, they'll close the door. Say, pastor has come. We're not at home. You won't know why. Your spirit is radiating rubbish to them. Once you come, they know. They can feel the manipulating spirit. The witchcraft spirit. And you say, oh, how are you people doing? Yeah, man, he wants us to come to church on Sunday. So the wife will say, let's go to church. The husband will say, no, I'm not going. I cannot be manipulated. You know, man can be stubborn. He said, well, pastor has been checking on us. That's the point. That checking, I can see through it. The man will now go to a church where there are 7,000 members. Why? Because nobody can check on him. The one that's anointable is the one that loves righteousness. That is that thing that he's doing. He does it, and having done it, he's happy. That if he checked that family, how are you doing? Oh, daddy has been sick for a while. Oh, is that so? We lay hands, we pray, we take his matter off for 2 days and intercede, and he gets well. And he doesn't come to that church. But you hear that he's joined a church where he's useful and he's learning. You rejoice. Do you get my point? After all, what matter, like Paul said, you just want to espouse the fellow to Christ Jesus. So you check that, oh, you are in a place where you are really meeting Christ Jesus. I'm okay, I'm happy. And we remain friends. But those who don't love righteousness, but love the reward of righteousness, you know the gist now. People are not faithful. They are not loyal. When he was sick, I was in his house praying every day. Now his tithe and offering is going to people who did not labor over his life. God will judge. Who begins where? Ekwe has entered. You know what they call Ekwe? The Lord is good. Can we rise to our feet? Let's rise to our feet. Let's rise to our feet. God needs people. Begin to pray. I'm not pursuing security for my future. Everywhere I go with a mindset of being an assignment. Peace of God will guard you.
Amen.
I feel like saying that again. The peace of God will protect you.
Amen.
From all the mental pressures of life, the peace of God will protect
Amen.
You. Paul said there is a peace that passes all understanding. That in the midst of trouble, your servant is afraid, but you are saying, what's your problem? Relax. He's saying, alas, my master, how shall we do? The peace of God will show you that greater is he that is with you than all the enemies surrounding.
Amen.
The peace of God will guard you.
Amen.
You will have a financial need that you have to meet by tomorrow morning. Honestly, you will be surprised at how well you slept.
Amen.
Because the peace of God will protect you.
Amen.
You will not be afraid.
Amen.
I say you will not be afraid.
Amen.
And in that time of peace, listen to me, you will hear heaven clearly.
Amen.
You will know where to go and fish and find a coin in the mouth of the fish.
Amen.
The Lord will never allow you to be stranded. See, the peace of God doesn't mean we are careless. It means we have rested in God. That God will take care of that which concerns us. That's the meaning of that. That's the meaning of it. So I say to you, you will not be disappointed.
Amen.
You will not be disappointed.
Amen.
God will send your supplies at the appropriate time.
Amen.
And you will see it and recognize it.
Amen.
Your hands will not do evil.
Amen.
It's important. Pressure will not make your hands do evil.
Amen.
The peace of God will protect you from doing evil.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
this week that's starting tomorrow, goodness will fill it for you.
Amen.
Doors that you did not even know were present, they will open for you.
Amen.
God will do something special for you this coming week.
Amen.
Where you thought there was barrenness, where things were not working, fruitfulness will come from there.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ,
Amen.
Goodness and mercy will follow you.
Amen.
All the days of your life.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Let's share the grace in fellowship. Because of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, surely we have passed out of death and we have passed into life. We have passed out of darkness into the light of Christ. We have passed out from under the curse into the blessing. All things have passed away in our lives. We are now filled with the Spirit of Christ. We live above sin and walk above the devil, as we are seated high above with Christ. This is our season of multiplication, dominion, and manifestation. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. For those who have not been coming regularly, this year, this your hands will minister the power of God.
Amen.
You will lay your hands on the sick and they will recover.
Amen.
Now remember, you have to lay your hands on. The sick will not come and jump into your hand. So gather boldness. Go out, lay your hands on the sick and they will recover.
Amen.
And that's why we say it's a year of multiplication, dominion, and manifestation. Do you understand that? So let's do it one more time. This is our season of multiplication, dominion, and manifestation in the name of Jesus. Now tell three people that this is your season. Two more people.